going on, everybody? Alan Kenny, managing editor, crystalballrun.com, the Blog Human Network's national college football blog. We've been previewing the SEC all week, so I figured who better to bring on than our good friend Bunky Perkins of the Friends with Muscles podcast, as well as Every Day Should Be Saturday and SB Nation blog. Let's go ahead and bring him in. Bunky, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot. Just trying to catch up with what I missed at SEC Media Days today.
Yeah, apparently your boy Feinbaum was just quite dramatic about the whole thing. He said, I guess Manziel's coming up, and he's like, you know, this is the most dramatic or tension-filled moment in the history of SEC Media Days or something. It's just like, give me a break.
Well, I mean, he's been off for a couple months, and so he had all that trolling just pin up. And, you know, he was finally able to release it at SEC Media Days. But, yeah, it was a little nuts today with Johnny Manziel. And just, you know, the reason that, like, it gets so much attention or, like, it was made such a big deal is because typically, as with all, you know, conference media days, there's not a whole lot that really comes out that is important information. Like, pretty much, you know, the SEC will announce, like, the first 3 weeks of televised games, mm-hmm. like, who's going where as far as, like, who's on what channel. But then after that, there's really not a whole lot going on. Like, I couldn't tell you, other than the fact that, or the thing about Kevin Sumlin getting questioned on whether his brand of football would work in the SEC, I don't remember anything that happened last year at SEC Media Days. Yeah. And so the fact that there was even, like, a modicum of, you know, something to talk about, like this big scandal that Manziel may or may not have overslept and may or may not have been hungover or whatever, like that, it gets blown out of proportion because there's nothing to talk about.
I know, yeah, it really is just such a farce, man. I mean, you know, every year they come out and Mike flies up there and they're all, oh, you know, he's dropping bombs. He's going to revolutionize college football and college sports. And then he's saying the same things the next year about what he wants to do. It's the same stuff that never happened the year before. Yeah, no, I'm totally with you. But, you know, let's talk a little bit about Manziel because I don't think that's been discussed enough today.
No, let's talk some more about it.
You know, you being an Ole Miss alum, you know, you probably have pretty good insight about old Archie Manning. You know, why does he have such a bee in his bonnet about the reigning Heisman Trophy winner? He's a hater, right? Because he never won a Heisman himself.
That's right. That's why he's hating. I don't think it's really that big of a deal because there have been players to get sent home from that camp in the past. It's like I was thinking about it today. Like if you've ever gone to a summer camp or like worked at a summer camp, like the thing about this passing camp, like there are kids there that pay money to be campers, and it just happens that the best college football quarterbacks in the country also go down there as counselors. But you think about like when you went to summer camp, something always happened. Like some counselor got sent home for doing something stupid, like you know making out with a girl counselor, you know, or I don't know, setting fire to something or whatever. Like there's always something, and so you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's not really a big deal. I don't think he's really hating on him. He just, you know, these kids pay money to go to this camp. And, you know, the one guy that I think a lot of people wanted to see was Johnny Manziel, and he oversleeps and just kind of, you know, it wasn't a big responsibility, but I mean, it was a responsibility. And there's some pretty big name people that are there involved with that camp. And so it's just, you know, it is what it is. I don't think it's that big a deal.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, in the grander scheme of things, probably not. It just, though, man, it's just, I don't know. Do you tend to fall more on the side that this offseason has been a problem for Manziel, or is it, you know, just no big deal? Because I don't, it's the kind of thing where all these different incidents in and of themselves are really nothing. But, I mean, at the end of the day, he just, each time something like this happens, he just, it's just, to me, it's not a good look, you know?
Like, it's a combination of a bunch of things. Like, number one, he's a Heisman Trophy winner. He had a great season. He came out of nowhere, mm-hmm. You know, to have this great season. Number two, he's at a school that was really football starved for probably 15 years.
Big time.
Yeah, I mean, they were craving somebody to worship as a hero. And, you know, they finally got one. And so it just gets blown out of proportion. You know, he was – Johnny Manziel was nothing that Vince Young was not at Texas. And, yeah, Vince Young is revered in Austin, but not at the same level that this has been over the past 12 months, or not even 12 months, last 8 months with Johnny Manziel. And so, like – it's that, and just the combination of A&M fans really being, you know, football starved, and then the fact that the guy has not an unlimited amount, but
a lot,
a good bit of disposable income thanks to his parents, and so he can go to these high profile events that most college students and certainly most college football players can't go to. I mean, they're not getting courtside seats, but you know, the Manziel family in East Texas is well known, and you know, they've been in the oil business and a couple other things, which may or may not be shady. But at the end of the day, the guy's family has money, and he's able to do things that other people just can't do.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. It's such a fascinating thing because he really is just like this. There's never been a situation like it in college football that I can recall, at least. But do you think that, you know, his team, A&M, I mean, do they keep it going this year? Nobody really saw them coming out the way they did last year. And by the end of the year, I mean, they were as good as anybody in the country. Do the Aggies, you think, keep rolling?
Well, you know what? I guess the obvious answer is they're not going to have as good a season because they did lose two, you know, first round draft picks on the offensive line. They lost Ryan Swope, who, for all intents and purposes, was a bailout receiver for, you know, Johnny Manziel and even before Manziel. You know, but the thing about it is, we had a Rick Muscles and I had a podcast with the guys from Good Bull Hunting about 2 weeks ago. That's the A&M blog for SB Nation, for those that don't know. But I started looking at their schedule, and other than the Alabama game, and they've got this bookend schedule where they don't really play anybody other than Alabama the third week of the season and LSU at LSU right toward the end of the season. Every other game on that schedule, I get the toughest game other than those two is at Ole Miss. And Ole Miss is a, you know, for all the recruiting hype and preseason hype, they're a 7-win team probably.
There, and they've also got an open date too before that Ole Miss game. So, you know, I mean, the chance to get rested up and everything. Yeah, you know, I kind of think, to a degree, that I think they're catching Alabama at kind of a bad time early in the year, just because I think that Bama will be able to take advantage of a lot of what they lost up front in the front seven. And I would rather, to me, I'd rather have LSU early this year than later, because they're in a similar situation as A&M, and that they're replacing a lot up front also. But, you know, those young guys tend to, you know, they mature as the season goes along, and later in the year, a young team like that can be kind of dangerous. But you're right. I mean, looking at this schedule, at 10 wins seems, I'm not going to say a given, but very, very likely.
Yeah, I mean, you see, number one, they play every non-conference team in the state of Texas,
yeah,
other than Texas. They play UTEP, they play SMU, they play Sam Houston State, they play Rice. You know, there's four wins right there. I think they're, you know, Auburn's going to be an improved team. They probably will be a bowl team, but they get them at home. They play State at home, and that'll be late in the season. And State has historically been a terrible second half team. Arkansas is going to be miserable. I mean, they'll have to go to Fayetteville, which will be tough, but it's not much. The toughest game is that Alabama game, because Alabama will have already played a tough opponent in Virginia Tech. Then they get a bye week. Yeah. Then they get A&M.
Yeah.
And so if they can get by that, and even if they can't, the SEC is so screwy sometimes that if you're going to lose, lose early.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because you don't really know what LSU is going to do. I mean, you think you have an idea that, yeah, they'll probably be a pretty good team, but they're replacing a lot of parts. Ole Miss, they got, you know, as a Ole Miss apologist, doesn't matter. from the simple fact that we got really lucky to win as many games as we did last year. We didn't have a lot of injuries, especially in the offensive line. We were lucky that Auburn and Arkansas had such miserable years, and that State, the wheels came off toward the end of the year. And I just, you know, it's wide open, especially if A&M wins that Alabama game. Like, it's, they're not going to lose again, I don't think, unless, you know, LSU sneaks up on them.
Yeah, I think that's kind of how it's looking. It looks like another big year there in College Station. You mentioned Arkansas. You know, besides Manziel, kind of the other big star of the day, apparently, at SEC Media Days was new Hogs head man Brett Bielema, who I guess was full of wit and charm, as is his wont. How is it that Bielema was known as this just notorious dickhead at Wisconsin, and all of a sudden he comes to Arkansas, and now he's like this, you know, straight-shooting bro, you know?
It's amazing what a change of scenery will do. And like a boss that, you know, doesn't tell you how he would have done it. You know, like Jeff Long is not going to tell Brett Bielema how to coach, whereas his situation in Wisconsin was a little bit different because he didn't build that program. And so, you know, and he was, I guess, the darling of the day at SEC Media Days. But see, that's the thing about Media Days. It's the guys that have, like, gone through it a couple times. Like Dan Mullen was today. Dan, like, his first year, he was all full of piss and vinegar and ready to go. He's like a veteran now. It's like he gave the most bland, non-exciting, non-quotable answers all day. And so, of course, Brett Bielema is going to sound like the second coming of Steve Spurrier, you know, after that show. And so, yeah, I just think with Arkansas and Auburn both, they're trying to fit, you know, square pegs in a round hole this first year. You know, Bielema wants to, you know, line up and play Big Ten football, essentially. I'm not sure he has the personnel to do that quite yet. You know, recruiting, the depth chart is pretty thin at Arkansas right now. You know, Petrino, for all his offensive genius, just really didn't recruit that well. And he had a lot of attrition, too. And then Auburn, of course, I mean, they did. You know, Gus Malzahn, he prides himself on quarterbacks, and you know, he said as much today as he don't know who the heck his quarterback is. He's got four guys, and so this first year, both of those teams. I think Auburn's got a better chance to maybe sneak up and get into bowl eligibility. I just think it's going to be a rough year for Arkansas.
Yeah, I kind of see it going that way too. But that's just, man. I realize it's kind of one of those jobs that seems like a trap job to me, because the money's really good there. They've got good facilities and everything. But, man, like, from a – the one of the things about Petrino that people don't realize is – I mean, that job he did at Arkansas really, to me, proved just how good a coach he is. Because talent-wise, man, I mean, you're not getting the same guys that Alabama and LSU and Florida and Georgia – I mean, you're just not getting them there. And, I mean, he was able to do things a little bit different, and he was so good, I think, particularly as an offensive, schemer that – I just don't know if Bielema's cut out to do that.
Well, in Arkansas, such a weird state from a recruiting perspective. Like, really, there's only two places to recruit from in Arkansas. It's Northwest Arkansas, and it's Little Rock. Mm-hmm. And everything else, like the high school football system outside of those two areas, is a little spotty at best. I mean, there's some decent stuff, you know, toward eastern Arkansas, like around Memphis, but really that's it. And so you've got to get every year, you've got to get the best player. And that's what, at least Houston Nutt, for all his coaching woes, he always got the best player out of the state. He got Matt Jones, he got Darren McFadden. You know, he even went over to Tulsa and got, you know, Felix Jones. Mm-hmm. You know, he got the best player in the state almost every year. And Bielema's not only got to do that, but then he's got to turn around and try to recruit Texas against A&M, against Missouri, against Oklahoma, against Oklahoma State, all programs, other than Missouri, I guess, but all programs that are either established or on the rise. And those are, you know, Fayetteville's a pretty easy place to recruit to versus, like, I don't know, Stillwater, but it's still kind of isolated. It's not near a major metropolis. you know, unless you grew up an Arkansas fan, Arkansas is not going to be your number one choice unless you have a dynamic coach there. And who knows if Billman is that guy? It's hard to tell. I think Petrino could have been that guy, but his ego got in the way, and he took a nice Sunday bike ride. And bad things happen. Yeah. So,
man, I was listening to one of that XM college football station they've got, and they had Houston Nutt the other day on. I think he was with Jack Arute, and I forget exactly what they were talking about, but somehow Arute got on the subject of those outfits that like Texas Palm girls wear, you know. And just out of nowhere, Houston Nutt's like, "Ooh, you talking chaps?" Like, just the way he said it just sounded so odd.
What a creeper. Like, he used to love going to the Cotton Bowl because the Kilgore Rangerettes would show up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, he was big into that. Yeah, Houston, I don't know. God, I miss him, you know. But I miss him for comedy's sake. I certainly don't miss him for anything but that.
You know, he's one of the most, like, well-liked coaches in the coaching circuit, you know? I mean, like,
because he keeps everybody employed.
Well, there's that. Yeah,
he gets everybody raises. Like, Jimmy Sexton would use him as, like, I'm not very good at chess, but he would use him like, I guess, like the knight, where he would just take him out and move him around and get all the pieces moving on the board. So basically, Jimmy Sexton would float his name, and all of a sudden, Nick Saban, Les Miles, and Bob Stoops get raises.
Yeah.
Like, well, how did that happen? Well, Houston got everybody raised. That's why everybody loves Houston. And, you know, I guess for all his shortcomings, he's a likable guy, but for all the wrong reasons, he's also not.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's talk, stay in the SEC West. Let's talk about your Ole Miss Rebels there. What's the recruiting budget at that school?
Well, we're finally realizing that we can kind of get away with the same things that everybody else has. We finally, like, got to the point where, like, okay, let's cheat to win like everybody else. But now, I think this year was kind of an anomaly just because we had a lot of tie-ins. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, Kim Dichie's brother played for us, and Laquan Treadwell, one of his best friends from high school, played for us. The number one, you know, quarterback out of Mississippi had always wanted to go to Ole Miss. I mean, we pulled some guys we shouldn't have pulled, like Tunsil. I don't know where the heck that came from. But, you know, it's a credit, I guess, to how hard they work. And the thing about Ole Miss, it's with a lot of places too, I'm sure, is if you get them on campus, it changes perception a lot of times. I mean, Ole Miss has this perception. We all know what it is. It's been around for 50, 60, 70 years. But honestly, when you get on campus, it's a whole different thing. And if you can convince those guys that it's always like that, which for the most part it is. Everything's not going to be perfect all the time, but it's a completely different campus certainly than it was even when I was there, you know, some odd years ago. But if you can get them on campus and get them on campus with other big recruits, at least you got a shot. So I think Freeze realizes that, but they are a long way from being A&M, LSU, Alabama, year in and year out. They've got to kind of build. You know, Houston left them pretty bare, and they were really bad that last year under Houston. And so the fact that he won 7 games this past year was I thought 4 was the ceiling.
Yeah, I remember talking before last season. I think you and I both agreed if they just got bowl eligible, like, that would have been a miracle, you know. So, I mean, Freeze really is doing good work there. He's one of the you're kind of getting these factions now splitting up there in the SEC, you know, the up-tempo guys versus the smash mouth guys. Do you think that Freeze actually seemed to have, you know, some success moving the ball last year with that offense? You also got, you know, A&M, of course, doing the same thing. I mean, do you think that that's going to end up maybe infiltrating the SEC kind of the way it has the Big 12?
Some aspects of it. I think all teams will run aspects of the spread, aspects of the read option. You know, certainly LSU runs a little bit of everything. I mean, they don't know what – that's the thing. That's the problem with LSU, at least the last 2 or 3 years, is they've gone through a bunch of different offensive coordinators, and they really – don't know what they are. They'll run some shotgun. They'll run some pistol. They'll line up, you know, and run between tackles. I mean, you got to have a little bit of everything. But the teams that are running the hurry up all the time, or at least trying to, I don't think Ole Miss is there yet. They don't have the personnel yet. Certainly neither is Auburn. But like a team like Ole Miss, for them to compete on a weekly basis in the SEC, they've got to have a gimmick. Mm-hmm. Like that's what Leach figured out at Texas Tech. Like he was never going to get the athletes that Texas A&M, you know, those teams were. He had to come up with some kind of. I mean, it's more than a gimmick, but he has to come up with something different. Mm-hmm. And that's why Leach was so successful, and that's why you see guys like Freeze have quick success, because they'll be able to compete in those games pretty early. And then if they just have a bounce go their way once or twice, they can get to 6 or 7 wins when you thought they were getting 4.
Yeah, I'm with you. And that's why I've never understood, though, so many of these coaches. A guy like Bielema who comes in and wants to kind of try to, you know, out Saban, and it's like that's just not going to work on that level, I don't think. So.
No, not consistently. It'll work 1 year, you know, but, like, over time – it just doesn't. You can't do that. Not with only getting the best players in your state every year.
Yeah, I'm completely with you there. I guess we'll have to talk about the SEC. Why is this part of the SEC so boring?
I don't know, Kentucky, Missouri.
Yeah, I mean
Vandy. Yeah. And even Vandy's not boring anymore. I like James Franklin. You know you are not the boring part of the SEC anymore when you got players getting thrown off the teams right before the season starts. So kudos to Vandy for stepping up. And Tennessee's been down. It really is South Carolina's conference, at least their side of the conference, to win this year. They've got the best team. They've got the best player, arguably. Mm-hmm. I think Georgia lost a bunch, obviously, in the draft. Florida is a little more experienced. At least Driscoll's more experienced, but I don't even know how comforting that is for Florida fans. So, hey, Jeff Driscoll's back.
Yeah. No.
So it's South Carolina's to win. And if they don't win it, then the East will get interesting. At least until the SEC championship, and then it's a wrap.
I'm assuming, Bama's your pick to win the conference this year.
Yeah, I think it's Alabama. I mean, I think everybody. I'm gonna be so lame and just say that it's the winner of that A&M Alabama game, which I think that's what everybody's saying. Which is gonna be hilarious because that everybody will pick whoever wins that game, and then LSU will sneak up and win the West mathematically. Yeah. But so. I think those are the two best teams are Bama and A&M. If South Carolina gets the championship game, then, it's anybody's game there.
Yeah, and the one thing is it seems like the one way to kind of beat Saban, or that Saban has, at least, pardon me, I guess, has been beaten, is with teams that can make the quarterback a running threat, you know? And, I mean, South Carolina can do that, you know. I mean, you know, guys like Shaw, I mean, he's certainly not Cam Newton or Johnny Manziel. But, I mean, they can do that, and they've got the defense to kind of hang with them. But, at this point, picking against Alabama just seems ridiculous.
Yeah, they really don't have, the Virginia Tech game is a neutral game. Then they go to College Station. That's their toughest road game of the year. Yeah. Then they got everybody at home, really. Until Auburn, and that's kind of an interesting game, because what is Auburn that last week in the season? Who knows? This last year they were worthless. That game was a wrap before it started. But with Malzahn and his system, like I said, it's going to at least make it interesting. I mean, if they buy in. You know, that was the nice thing about Freeze, is like you could tell the team wasn't real sure about 3 or 4 games in, and then right after that Texas game, Texas killed them, scored a bunch of points, but Ole Miss was able to move the ball and put points on the board. And I think after that, especially after the Alabama game, where they actually led Alabama in the third quarter, they figured out, hey, we believe in this system, we're going to figure it out. It'll be interesting to see if the same thing happens in Auburn going into that last game. But yeah, I mean, Ole Miss historically never beats Alabama at Alabama. I can't even remember the last time it happened. Arkansas is not winning at Alabama. Tennessee at Alabama. Who knows what Butch Jones is good. LSU at Alabama. You know, they just – it sets up nicely for them, which I guess is kind of payback. There was a couple years ago where – everybody had a bye week before they played Alabama.
Oh, yeah. That 2010 schedule they had was just brutal, man. Like, all those games they lost, you're right. I think it was the second half of the year they had something like six straight games against teams that had bye weeks right before them. I mean, that was just ridiculous. So, yeah, interesting. Okay, so then who's going to be the surprise team?
Well, let's see. I guess Tennessee, probably. Mm. Yeah, I guess for a lack of options, maybe.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, I don't think Vandy's going to be as good this year. They're going to have they're going to take a step back. But I think next year they're actually going to be a much better team. It'll depend. You know, they've got this transfer quarterback from Wyoming. It'll kind of depend how he pans out. Maybe Missouri.
Missouri's the one that was the one that I was kind of looking at.
If James Franklin stays healthy, they're at least viable. Mm-hmm. But I love the game I love for them non-conference is the fourth game of the season. They play at Indiana.
Yeah.
No, but Indiana is like that. That is Rick Muscles and Adam Jacoby. That is their team to like sneak up and contend for the Big Ten this year. Yeah. And so
Indiana was in contention last year till like the next to last week of the season to actually win their division, I think.
Yeah. They were like mathematically toward the end. They've got some fun games at Indiana, and then the next week they play Arkansas State, who's no slouch. They've won the Sun Belt the last 2 years. And so I think the winner of that Missouri-Indiana game will have a pretty decent season. So if Missouri can get by in Bloomington, I think they might actually turn out to have they'll earn their keep a little bit, maybe.
So. Yeah, I could see them winning seven games this year. I mean, they've got, you know, you look at who they get at home, you know, they get Florida and South Carolina at home. I mean, those are obviously, you know, Florida and South Carolina are going to be favored, but, you know, that at least ups the chance of a sneaky win there. Tennessee, you know, and then at the end of the year, they also get A&M coming off that LSU trip. They're going to be – A&M's going to be at Missouri. Never know. They could sneak up there too. So that's an interesting team this year.
Well, and the other one that I like just because like, there's always one team that just the wheels fall off early and they stay off. Like last year, the team nobody really expected to be that bad was Auburn. Auburn was really bad.
Yeah.
Like Arkansas, you can't expect, okay, they're not going to be very good with John L. Smith. But this year, I think everybody, consensus pick, Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to find out real quick. They play Oklahoma State first game of the season. If they get their doors blown off in that game, it might be a wrap for Dan Mullen. That's going to be a really – it could be a really tough year in Starkville.
Yeah, and I mean that team was so fraudulent last year. I mean, they ran up so many easy wins early on, and then just I mean they talk about imploding down those. I mean, they gave Northwestern their first bowl win in like 57 years or something like that. I mean,
well, and their schedule again this year is really backloaded. I mean, it's South at South Carolina, at College Station, Bama at home, at Arkansas, and then Ole Miss at home. Mm-hmm. I mean. What are they going to win? One of those, maybe.
Yeah, that's rough. That is rough.
So yeah, it could be rough in Starkville this year.
Yeah, well, I can't imagine a nicer guy to happen to than Dan Mullen. I don't know. I've always disliked Dan Mullen. I have no idea why. He's such a like boring milquetoast dude. It seems like
he's just kind of passive aggressive. Like you know, he tries to like not give Ole Miss credit. He calls them the school up north. It's just kind of a gimmicky. Like it's not genuine. Like, I always felt like Steve Spurrier genuinely hated Tennessee. Like, I don't think Dan Mullen really hates Ole Miss. I just think he's kind of like, hey, I got to stoke the fires of this rivalry somehow.
Yeah, so. And you know what? I heard him talking, like, doing an interview with Bill King one time where he talked for a good, like, solid 5 minutes about how much he liked XM radio because it had, like, a 70s and an 80s station. And it was just the most goddamn boring, like... 5 minutes of radio imaginable. It was just, it was awful. Like, who, anyway.
But you, can you imagine him in like a Trans Am with a mullet listening to REO Speedwagon?
Oh, absolutely.
There's a picture of him somewhere doing that.
Fair enough. Well, Bunky, we've covered pretty much everything I was hoping to get through. We went through the whole SEC in 30 minutes. I'm shocked that we were able to do that. But what do you guys got going on over there at Every Day Should Be Saturday, other than the usual shenanigans?
Yeah, well, Spencer Hall, our illustrious leader, is at SEC Media Day, so he'll have plenty going on there. And Celebrity Hot Tub and I, that's his legal name, kind of holding down the website this week. So I don't know. Just kind of make up stuff as we go. Nothing, you know, we're waiting for the season to start. It's so tough in the summer, right? And, you know, that's why Houston Nut was so great. You could always make up stories. And so, you know, like making up stories about Dan Mullen is just not as fun. So, but yeah, that's what we're doing. And, you know, I know this being a Big 12 OU slanted, at least you individually, I will be in Norman at least once or twice this year, as my wife's sister will be a freshman at OU. So I will be on campus. I've never been to an OU game. So
party time. You know, yeah. I can get you some pretty sweet seats for that ULM opener if you want. So hopefully they'll get him a return trip to Monroe. Maybe, you know, we could all make a pilgrimage down there, hang out at the Monroe Airport Bar or something.
It's closed.
Oh, airport, did it really?
The airport lounge closed, man.
I've seen what they did. I mean, they redid the whole airport, but wow, I can't believe they closed that thing down.
You're on your own for Long Island iced teas. But yeah, fun row. Maybe a return trip, but I'll be in Norman at some point this year.
Nice. Well, enjoy. Absolutely. Well, again, hey, Bunky, really appreciate you coming on, man.
Man, no problem. I appreciate it.
All right, and thank you all, too, for joining us. For CrystalBallRun.com, I'm Alan Kenny. Take it easy.